Dear friends, so good to be with you and to welcome you also to our service this morning. And what a privilege it is that we can be together on this first Sunday in 2021. And it goes without saying that an old year has gone and a new year has come, and what lies ahead? Well, that's a big question, isn't it? As a church, we're looking forward to good things happening. The cables are coming next week, Lord willing. There's weddings coming in months to come, and this Tuesday, Pastor Jack and Caroline, along with their loved ones, are going to celebrate Jack and Caroline's 30th anniversary. These are good occasions. We have these ahead, at least planning for them. But what about you and your family? Will it be a truly happy new year? That's a good question to ask at this time, isn't it? Because we live in a very uncertain, changing, and coronavirus world. As we come back one year, who would have known what lay ahead? And just as well, what lies ahead now? And that's why these words of Jesus, as he meets with his disciples at the Last Supper in John 16, his last conversation with his disciples as one. These words are so very, very vital. They're so important because what we have here is a strategy for life. And it's a strategy that comes to us in the very last part of the last verse that we read. And we all need it. We ought not leave here or step out into any more of this year without it. And what is Jesus' strategy for life? It is this, that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. And that's the guts of it. Two words, take heart, for I have overcome the world. That's how you must face life. Please, let's take these words to heart. And the first thing that Jesus tells us is that we can expect trouble. Now understand that he's not being negative, but honest. Refreshingly honest about life in this world. And you may know already, life can be a rather mixed bag. There are good days and others that are not like that. There are happy times, but others when we're quite sad. In Jesus' words, trouble lies ahead. And those troubles can be minor. And we know that, don't we? We might plan a picnic and then it rains all day. They may be major. Rolanda was coming down the stairs to meet me at the bottom and jump in the car to come here this morning. We got a text from our family in West Australia. We have a sister-in-law who's just undergone surgery for stage 4 cancer. And she was doing so well, but now she's back in hospital. It may be sickness. It may be sadness. It may be loss. It may be pain. And that's true for anyone, whether you believe in Jesus or don't. Now, recently I received a lovely message on my phone. It said, and I'll have to read it, my 2021 New Year's wish for you, John. 12 months of happiness, 52 weeks of fun and laughter, 365 days of success. That was the message, and there was a little more than that. And my question is, do you think that's going to happen? We'd love it to. Don't our hearts long for that? For a world which is just like that? But that's not this world. And that's what Jesus wants us to see. Now there's something else in particular we must note here. Not just that we live in a world where in general troubles come, but specifically troubles come because we follow Jesus. Think of what lay ahead for the disciples. Jesus would soon lead them into Gethsemane and after his time of agonizing prayer, they would leave. Jesus would be arrested, and the disciples would scatter like rabbits, fearing for their lives. Later, after Jesus' death and resurrection, they would regroup. And then, what was waiting for them? Persecution, suffering, and death. And it's no different today if you follow Jesus. And whether you live in North Korea or China, in those places where persecution is extreme, or you live in Australia, the principle is still the same, even if the outworking is slightly different. If you want to tell people of the saving love of Jesus for sinners, and hear what Andrew said this morning of the call that we must repent and believe in him, how do you think that will be received? If you no longer join your friends in wild partying, in drinking to excess, in dabbling in drugs, what do you think they're going to say to you? And friends, if you speak out against voluntary assisted dying, if you disagree with same-sex marriage, if you don't want to agree with abortion, we know how that news will be received, don't we? And that's what Jesus wants us to see, that trouble comes with the territory. In this world, we must expect it. We see it in the Bible, and we see it especially in the life of Jesus. If anyone knew trouble, it was him. Opposition, ridicule during his ministry. And think of Gethsemane, where he went through a dark night of the soul. And even as the Son of God, struggled with the will of God for his life and prayed that the Father might take the cup of suffering from him. And then the cross, utterly humiliated as he hung there, unclothed, and then to die in agonizing pain and totally forsaken, rejected by heaven and rejected by mankind. Nobody wanted him. He knew trouble with a capital T. And now he wants us to understand that in this world, trouble will come our way too. The question is not if, but when. And when it does, how will you face it? What will you do? What will be your strategy as you step into that? Will you seek the wise counsel of good friends and wise people? Always a good thing to do. Will you seek professional help? Often a good thing to do. But there's an even better thing, that we listen to Jesus, because the words of Jesus are life-changing. They are a strategy for life, and the heart of it is in two words: take heart. Now, as we think on these words for just a moment, can we all please note, this is a command. Jesus is not giving us an option. He is not saying to us, please consider this, I would encourage you to think about this seriously. He's telling us what to do. And for the boys and girls who are here this morning, it's like when your mum says, clean up your room. She's telling you what she wants you to do. And that's what Jesus is doing here. And these words are not the first time they have been said. If you follow them through the Gospels, they pop up again and again. Think for a moment of the paralytic whose friends took him to the paralytic whose friends lowered him through the roof to the feet of Jesus. And in Luke's gospel, the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, with all the shame of that in that culture at that time. Think of the terrified disciples on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was walking towards them. They thought it was a ghost and they were scared silly. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take heart." Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take heart." Jesus said to the woman, "Take heart." And now he says to you, "Take heart." If you have a job, you may have a job that is hard, and you may have to drag yourself there every time you've got a shift. You may not have a job to go to, and Jesus says, "Take heart." Dear friends, think of your marriage or your family life. For some of you, it's great. For others, it's not. And Jesus says, "Take heart." Some in our church family are sick and getting sicker and will not get better. Jesus says to them, "Take heart." Some are struggling with loneliness, finding the blessing of children a big burden and sometimes more than they can carry. Many of our folk deal with the frailties of old age every day again. They go to bed with it, they wake up with it, and Jesus says to each of you, "Take heart." And others of us are struggling with a sin that we know in our heart we need to break with. Or there is an addiction that has enslaved us and it's dragging us down spiritually. It needs to be broken. And Jesus says to you, he says to me, he says to us, he commands us, "Take heart." Take heart and make that part of your strategy as you face 2021. Now let's be honest. Sometime that seems a mountain too big to climb. You may not feel you can. But there is good news here. And the good news is, it's not about you. It's not Jesus telling you to man up, to do better, to never do that again. It's not that. It's not about your willpower. It's all about him. And he holds the secret to this strategy, which on the face of it seems rather difficult at times to implement. And it's all in the words that come next. We should expect trouble, but we can take heart. Why? Why? Because in this passage, Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." You'll notice how big that "I" is in this text, in this graphic from Faith Life. They use a different translation. Don't trip over that. Tribulations instead of troubles, as we have it in the NIV. Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." And if you leave here with nothing else this morning, please take that with you, because this is a very gutsy thing to say. You know, sometimes we talk about overcoming things. A bad habit like biting your nails. It may be something else. You know, you're a student at uni or at school and there's a bit of a setback, but you work your way through it. Or there's a problem on the job and, well, you just apply yourself to it, and by the grace of God, you work yourself through it. You do overcome. Now, those things happen in our lives, and we understand that. But here Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." And that is huge. Because what he's talking about here is not just the nations of the world, but the world as it lies under the power of the evil one, where Satan is alive and well and hard at work. A world where death claims its victims, as we saw last week. A world where there is so much evil and sadness and brokenness. That world that was against Jesus, that enemy who had all his power and threw it against Jesus, that enemy has been defeated. And we have seen the evidence in the ministry of Jesus. He is the great overcomer. And that's what we must grasp. Think of his ministry for just a moment. Think of his healings, the blind, the deaf, the lame, the dead. Was any of them too hard for him to do? And when he cast out the demons, was there ever any instance where a demon was more powerful for Jesus, too powerful to cast out? And what about at the cross? On the face of it, it looks like his greatest defeat. But the reality is that it was his greatest victory. We hear his words ring out, "It is finished." We hear the words of Paul in Colossians chapter 2, that on the cross he disarmed the powers and authorities. If you like, he overcame them. He made a public spectacle over them. He triumphed over them. Jesus is the great overcomer, and he has overcome. And when we stand at a graveside, as we did just last week, it all looks so terrible and hopeless. An empty hole, a casket getting lowered, and you hear the thud as it hits the bottom. And Jesus says the grave does not have the last word. I do. And I have overcome. And that place of sadness and grief is going to become a garden of grace. When by his power and mercy, Willie Power and all who share the faith that she had are going to rise up to the praise and glory of God. That is wonderful stuff, and that's what we must grasp here. This whole issue of taking heart and stepping out into an unknown future, it's not about you, it's about him. And there is grace for you in Christ Jesus. That is why this is such a powerful message. The overcomer helps us to take heart and overcome the challenges we shall face and the issues we shall have to work through as we step out into an uncertain world. And if you're struggling with your sin, he promises you will be forgiven. If only you will come to him. And you've made some terrible mistakes, as I have. And he promises he will redeem those mistakes and take bad and turn it into good. You're facing the future and you don't know if you'll be able to provide for your family or make ends meet. And he says to us, just trust me. You're struggling with grief or sorrow or pain. And he comes alongside and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you are facing, he will help you because he is Jesus, the overcomer. He has overcome the cross. He has scorned its shame. He now sits at the right hand of God, and he will come back to bring a brand new world. But he's not here yet. We're waiting for that to happen. What must you do? Well, if you haven't already, Put your faith in him. Turn your heart to him. Cry out to him, because he promises that anyone who calls on his name will be saved. That's his promise. And if you have put your faith in him, please understand, I'm sure there will be good times and fun times in 2021, and precious days and wonderful experiences, but there will also be others. We ought to be real and expect trouble, and we can. We know why, because Jesus has told us. But we know that we can and we must take heart. We can do that because there is grace for us in Christ Jesus. And that is why, as we grasp that today, we must not forget, we must never, ever forget these words, Jesus' words to us, I have overcome the world. And because he has overcome, you can step out in faith and with joy, and you can find peace, hope, and meaning in 2021. And may that be your experience. May God bless you in 2021 that way. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, before we even start to pray for ourselves, we want to thank you for these words of Jesus. And we ask that you would lay them on our hearts. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. We pray for our community and nation and world, that this message would come home, because the need is so great and the time is so short. People have no anchor for their soul, and they live in a changing and coronavirus world. Have mercy and bring this message home, and also to our hearts, because at times, Father, we confess we are fearful. Forgive us. Remind us that the coming year is under your control. Fill us with your joy, your peace, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can live as children of the living God, who are held in the grip of your grace, and we can be more than conquerors. Grant us your mercy in times of heartache, loss, and pain, but always remind us of Jesus' strategy, that these things do not get the last word. He does, and he has guaranteed us an eternity of peace, joy, and wholeness. So help us to take heart and free us to worship you, to trust you, to love you, and to hope in you through all of 2021. Send us forth now in the joy and power of your Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Could I invite you to stand?